Man, it's great to be back. I'm really hot. Yeah, this bad boy. Putting out. All right. About your room? Yeah, it's a little bit better. It sounds a little better. I'd definitely have to. You try to use my inside voice with this thing broadcasting. Still.
Yeah. Anyway, well, it's great to be back. I tell you, man, these Shabbat days, boy, seem like they come around faster. I tell you, so it's great to be here. Let me tell you, I was just telling Pastor, I've been working on this for 3 weeks, since February the 13th. That's the last, I thought I was going to speak between then, and that's what I had my notes prepared for, but I wound up working late one day. So when you miss a turn, you just go that much longer. So I tell you, it's a lot of information. I mean, it's okay. You know, we ain't going to get through it all. I mean, I'm going to try to hit the much high points that I can, some really interesting stuff. But, hey, you know, information is good. Yeah. You know, preaching, we hear, you know, it moves us. But teaching informs us. So I think we need to be informed. And just this week, I don't know if you know them, they had Purim. And how do you know if it wouldn't have been for Mordecai to inform the king, Jews would have been annihilated. So it's great some time we got to be hearers, you know, and doers. It can't be just hearers only, but how do you know? Because of what he done, what he heard, brought information to the king and worked a great salvation. So I got the chance to share that a couple times with people this week on the job. People that don't know. You know, never heard the story before. They didn't know about it. I said, man, you got to keep up with this. Because everybody want to know, why is the moon red and blood red and all this stuff? I said, dude, that's a reason for all this. So it was great, though. Anyway, let's get a move on. We're going to go to Genesis. We're still in Bereshit chapter 48. And you know, this is, when he said he got a lot of information, he really does. Every day I just sat there and copied, add stuff. And I said, I'm not going to put no more. And then you wind up sitting there reading all. I was like, man, this was just a little nugget here. So I got so many nuggets in here. But I'm going to get started. In Bereshit 48, verse 1. And after these events, it came to be that it was said to Joseph, see, your father is sick. And he took him, his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now we know Manasseh, his name means causing to forget. Because you remember all the stuff that Joseph went through. He went through a lot of stuff before he got to the position he was in. So Manasseh was causing to forget. This is just a light little recap. But Ephraim, age 669, is dual of a masculine form of double fruit. That's important. First of all, double fruit is age 672. We're going to look at that. He said, why was it double fruit? Well, before I get to that, let me just show you my note. Just tell you that Ephraim represented 10 tribes, the northern tribe. The master comes and he says, well, I come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So these were the 10 tribes dispersed in the nation. Yehuda and Benjamin, the two tribes that stayed behind together, and Manasseh, that was adopted by Yaakov, 13 tribes. So we got the 13. In America, we got 13 colonies that formed America. So this is all little stuff I know we had. This is just, like I said, a light little recap. 13 stripes in the American flag. 13 arrows in the American seal. And 13 stars and 13 olives in the talon of the eagle. So if we look at our seal, all these little nuggets are in there. It's just for us to take notice of. And of course, I had this at the time. It says, not to mention that today is Friday the 13th. I said, it sounds scary or coincidence. So I think how far back that went. But if Ephraim is double fruit, I shall be doubly fruitful. And the reason why he's doubly fruitful, I'm going to give you two reasons why. One is because Yah divides, he elects, and he separates for his use. And not to mention, doubly fruited, if we look at it, If you look at double fruit, it's Ephraim represent 10. Now you take the number 10, it's the yud. It's the one, which is it's the aleph, but there's no zero. But if you look at 10, 10 is the hand. So no matter how you take it apart, the one and the zero, Yah's hand is all upon this. That's why he's double fruited. One reason why. And that's some other things to look at. But I just, you know, when I'm thinking about that, you know, what can I just throw in there to help out with that? What was important, I don't know if we had, I don't remember touching on this, it's dual masculine of H672. So let's look at one of these double fruited. It's Ephrah or Ephrathah. It's from 6509, means fruitfulness. Ephrah, another name for Bethlehem, and it, when you look this up in the Strong, it gives you a verse. It gives you Psalm 132:6. So I put it down, but I didn't do a whole lot of time on it because there was just I actually lost sight of it. But I'm gonna give you the verse. It says, "See, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the field of the forest." Now I went back and I read it. It's really good, but it's just I didn't spend any time on it. But it's Ephrathah. It's and you look at it in a brown driver's brig. It's ash heap or place of fruitfulness. It's always pointing to this fruitfulness. Now we're going to ask ourselves, are we being fruitful? Was Joseph fruitful? Should we not be fruitful? We're going to ask ourselves these questions. Because it's double ash heap. It's from 6509. I think we had this one before. The word is para. Para in the Hebrew, it means to bear fruit. Is that who we are? Are we bearing fruit? This is about to take off right here. And we're getting to some of the good stuff right here. Para, like I said, it's to bear fruit literally or figuratively. Let me tell you, I don't know about y'all. My wife just went to town. She bought some, a couple of cantaloupe, bought some fruit for stuff for us tomorrow to help out. Let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with fruit. I like fruit. But that's the physical side. But in the spiritual side, we got to be bearing fruit. Not, like I said, I say it all the time. Not inside these walls. Outside this week, I had a chance to share some fruit with people. That information. That's basically, you know, sharing information with some stuff that you know that they don't know because they're looking to you. We have to be bearing fruit. I mean, if not, because we were taught the fruit is not for us. So we're gonna see a few good things here. Just bear with me. Because I've been reading this over and over and over. As bring bear fruit, cause to be make fruitful grow increase. And this is what this church is doing. We're growing. We're increasing. If you haven't noticed, we got fresh babies in here. I'll tell you, that excites me. We're growing. You know, we're thinking we adults are coming in. Look, they're coming in right there. I told Fall Lloyd last week, you better extend your cord because the babies are coming in. So we got some of our family that's, hey, we're bearing. We're doing something good. It's ancient Hebrew. Is the pay and the race. It means tread, bull, and fruitful. The pay and the race is the picture of the head. Combined these mean open the head. Y'all wants to open our head to what? All the information that we're getting to what? We bear fruit. We have to. Amen. I mean, if we're not bearing fruit, what are we here for? Why even come tonight? Why even come tomorrow? We could have just stayed the way we was. He wants to open our head, and it compares good. It says with the H and the V is fruit and fruitful. It's to increase, bear, bring forth. In Genesis 49:22, let's see if Joseph was a fruit bearer. See what the scripture said, what the record. In Genesis 49:22, it says Joseph is an offshoot of a fruit-bearing tree. Wow. An offshoot of a fruit-bearing tree by a fountain, his branches run over a wall. I don't know about y'all, but that scripture comes alive. Let me tell you, my neighbor got a fig tree. She planted right on the side of our property right there. Hey, you know, that thing's come out and lean over on our property. Guess who that fruit is falling outside when it comes over? Well, it don't come over the wall. You don't cross over on the outside of the property. That's what he's saying. Hey, when you got fruit, when you're branching out, you're gonna extend out. You're gonna reach over the wall. It's not only for you. It's for those alongside you. Right. I wonder why he's saying that. Para. That's what para looks like. So Yosef was a fruit bearer. We ought to be fruit bearer. Now let's take it a little bit a step further. Let's fast forward into Matthew. Let's see what our master. Because after all, if he ain't bearing fruit, we wasting our time. So in Matthew 7, I'm going to take it from the top, verse 15. He says, but beware of the false prophets. I mean, you know, that's out there in the world today. And as time goes on, you see it pop up more and more. It's all, especially now it is AI generated. So much stuff that, you know, if we're not rooted and grounded, you can be misled. It's possible. In the last day, he said, even the elect, it's possible, can be deceived. We got to stick down in here. We got to get our roots down. He says, who come to you in sheep's clothing? But inwardly, there are savage wolves. We have to pay attention to our master. Many shall say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And then I shall declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Man, what a strong word from our master. He says in verse 16, by their fruits you shall know them. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every good tree yields good fruit, but a rotten tree yields wicked fruit. We got to pick our choice here. What are we going to do? He don't give a middle fruit. He gives either good or wicked. A good tree is unable to yield wicked fruit, and a rotten tree is to yield good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Just so you know. That's what happens. You know, we got, especially at the house over there. If it ain't bearing, I fall on right now. He's ready to cut it down. We came back from Ida, and that tree looked like it was looking kind of rough, the persimmon tree. He was ready to put the axe to it. I said, hold up, no, let's try to tend it. And I tell you what, it's making some good persimmons, but it better keep bearing. Because I know what's going to happen. Oh, man, a good tree is unable to yield wicked fruit, and a rotten tree to yield good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, he's talking about us, you and I. We have to be bearing. I know he's talking about fruit, but who doesn't like good, sweet, fresh fruit? I know I do. So then, verse 20, by their fruits you shall know them. So if we pay attention to the word and the word of our master, you better tell out there what's rotten and what's wicked. You'll know. So it's up to you and I to pay attention. In Matthew 3:10, Yohanan said this, the axe is already laid to the root of the trees. Every tree then which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into a fire. So that's he's talking about a time that we got to endure. We got to endure the pressure. We got to endure whatever comes our way. Because look, circumstances are going to come our way. Are we going to feel the pressure? Are we going to feel the heat? Yes. But what do we do? Still bear good fruit. When I'm on the job, some days it's just a little aggravating, and you got to kind of grit your teeth almost some days. But I still have to bear good fruit because I got to remember who I am. If not, I'd be a disservice to the master. Let's look at something in James. Like I said, I have a ton of information, but this is so good. In James 3:13, Yaakov says this, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good behavior his works in meekness of wisdom. Say good fruit. Because we got it right here. Good behavior in meekness of wisdom. That's good fruits. Look at verse 14. Let's keep on going. But if you have bitter jealousy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast against the lie. Do not boast against and lie against the truth. See, bad fruit. See, it's just like that. So we got our speech. So we're going to get down to something right here pretty soon. Our speech is going to let us know. People are going to tell if you're bearing good or not. This is not wisdom coming down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Wow. Now that really tightens a button on your shirt right there. For where jealousy and self-seeking are, there is confusion and every foul deed. And you know that none of that's going to be in Yah's kingdom. So that shouldn't be our approach. We got to conduct ourselves in a manner. I read that in the time and the season which we're in, what we're going through. We really, really got to get this down pat. You know, we're interacting with new churches. We don't know them. They don't know us. So we got to do at our best and be on our best behavior. Because we can't have bitterness and jealousy because for whatever reason. We can't be self-seeking in our heart because they're different. They're going to sound different. We're going to sound different than them. So all this comes into play on how we act as good fruits. It said, but in verse 17, but wisdom from above is first clean, then peaceable, then gentle, ready to obey. Wow. Filled with compassion and good fruit. I don't know about y'all, but that's verse, I needed that. Today, I just stuck this in there today. Just went over that part here in James. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. I mean, that we have no room for error. I remember years ago, one of my old captain buddies told me that one time. When Pastor Lutra used to be Pastor Lutra, going down Pastor Lutra, I remember I started 30 years ago. I said, man, on the deckhead of that boat for deckhand, and I was, we found next to the Kings going down. I said, boy, we close, huh? He said, cousin, we got no room for error. That stuck with me ever since 30 years ago he told me that. Now it's just, you know, you can cheat here and there, but let me tell you, wisdom from above is first clean. You learn over time. Be gentle, ready to obey. We fixing to make a move here, going to inherit property. We got to be ready to obey. Amen. We can't go in there with disobedience. Well, I don't. But then you go self-seeking. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's what we want to do. We want to make peace. And the master said that, if possible, be at peace with one another. In Philippians 1, it said, see Philippians 1:11. So I went ahead and just add that in there. Because, I mean, we can't just... But it starts at verse 9, because I hate to just pick a verse and not show you what it looks like. So in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, this I pray, that your love might extend more and more in knowledge and in discernment. For you to examine the matters that differ in order to be sincere and not stumbling until the day of Messiah. We got a long ways to go. Hey, look, we still got time. I know we're getting in the end. All the signs are around, but the end is not yet. Verse 11, being filled with fruit of righteousness through Yeshua Messiah to the esteem and praise of Elohim. Because at the end of the day, that's who we give the glory and honor and praise and thanks to, is to the one that give us life, give us the very breath. But through Yeshua Messiah, because we have a pattern. Verse 1. Now that was verse 2. Now we're to verse 2. And Yaakov was told, see your son Yosef is coming to you. And Yosef strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Now this is a really good one. I dove into this a little bit. Everybody knows this one. Should know. And if you never heard, I'm going to give it to you anyway. The word strengthen is H2388. It's the word hazak. Hazaka means to be strong, to fasten upon, hence to seize, be strong, courageous. He told it to Yehoshua. He said, be strong and courageous. Hazak, be strong. And this is what he told them, be strong, be strengthened. To strengthen, Brown Driver's Bridge, to strengthen, prevail, harden, be strong, become strong. And you know, because Yahweh had to do what? He's dying, he's only dead. He had to strengthen himself. Now we got other verses in the scripture that talk about that, but let me get down here as quick as I can. In the ancient Hebrew, it's the word seize and strength. A strong grabbing hold to refrain or support. Now, or it goes best with the V, it means to grab hold tightly, to refrain or support by grabbing hold. I mean, you know, we got to grab hold to the word. It's time. We're in the time and the age where it's precious to us. If you ain't grabbing hold, what are you holding on to? What are the sources out there? So we have to grab hold as much as we can. Any chance we get. We're not telling you not to venture and go look at your Facebook page, and we're not dictating you and stuff like that. But our main focus should be this. When I wake up, my focus is this. And when I go to bed, it's on my mind. But lately, man, I tell you, this week, we've been having children on our mind. But in the morning, you know, my little quiet set apart time is kind of robbed me of the house a little bit. So now I do it on the boat. So you don't get away from it. I don't get a pass because I got babies in the house. I gotta restructure. I gotta work around my time to find my time for him or make time. But I have to grab hold tightly to this. Now it was said, I don't find it, but it was said that Yaakov, when he strengthened himself, he sat upon his bed. He had his staff that he helped to lean on. Now, but look, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. But it you can find teachings on that. But the first time we see this word Hazak is in Genesis 19:6. I know we had this before, and I think Brother Rob talked on this. He said, while he laddered, the word ladder right there, you know, the men took hold, Hazak, of his hand and his wife's hand and the hand of his two daughters, Yehovah having compassion on him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. First mention. He's talking about Lot and his wife and his daughters. Having what? Compassion. I don't know about you, but today when I had a weeping moment, I read this today because he had compassion on me. Mm-hmm. He had compassion on you, I'm pretty sure. Because we all got a story. We all live and breathe and testimony. He had to have compassion. If not, we were stuck in the city. We was about to go down in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's right. He had compassion on us. He sent someone there to do what? Grab hold of you and take you out. Out of harm's way. And many times, even though now that we're born again believers, and there's times when you don't know, but he takes you out of harm's way. He's got a hold of you, and we don't even recognize it. This really verse that really mentioned when he said he had compassion. And not only he didn't have compassion just on you, he had it on your wife. He had it on your daughters, your children, your sons. He had compassion for all of us in here tonight. Now one thing as I was going through this, to strengthen, Hazak. When we went to our meeting up there with our pastors, you know, he said, write the vision down and see the vision. My very first thing was to teach Torah, you know, to help teach. And here I am. I said this a while back. I'm here to help teach. So, but to help teaching, I got to be a good steward. I got to be a good Berean. I got to go dive in. And I got to look at all this. And I said that because not every English word you see strength is hazak. So let me just show you what I'm talking about because this is where we, you know, a teacher has to go slow down and really, I don't want to just tell you strength because the English, he used it all through the scriptures. But in the Hebrew, we won't let you do that. So we have to take our time and look at it. In Genesis 49:14, it says, Issachar is a strong donkey lying down between two burdens. Gareem, H16:34. And if you can write it down, I'm just going to read it. I'm reading fast. So, in Nehemiah 8:10, then he said to them, go, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom none is prepared. For this day is set apart to our master. Do not be sad, for the joy of Yehovah is your strength. Boy, I wish I could. That's
That's a good chapter to go back and read in Nehemiah 8.
But it's Ma'oz. It's 4581. This one I love. Because I've been saying this a lot lately. In Psalms 18, verses 1 and 2. It says, I love you, O Yehovah, my strength. Hazek. Hazek. H2391. I tell that to our little bitty boy, right? I call him bitty boy. Come here, bitty boy. And every day he look at me smiling. I love you. I constantly tell him. Then I'm FaceTiming. I got to tell Zeddy, I love you. I got to tell Sylvia, I love you. I got to tell my wife, I love you. Everybody got to get their turn. So am I going to tell my creator, I love you? You are my strength? Yeah. Man. And Psalms 18:2, Yehovah is my rock and my stronghold. Stronghold, H5553. This one got a little slang to it. It's Selah. When you put your man, you want to say Selah, but it's Selah. And my deliverer, my El is my rock. I take refuge in him. My shield and the horn of my deliverer, my high tower. He's our strength. But like I said, the only thing, Hazak, there's other words for that. But I thought that was cute when I said Selah. I was in the man, and I was like, this is a good one. Oh. In Psalms 25:8, 6 and 7. You want to get these three verses. Because they do not heed the works of Yehovah, nor the works of his hand, he throws them down and does not build them up. Blessed be Yehovah, because he has heard the voice of my prayers. Yehovah is my strength. H5797, ooze. And my shield. My heart has trusted in him, and I have been helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song, I thank him. I thought about Sister Linda when I read that verse right there. Because why? Her song, she sings. She's a singer. And she's always giving thanks in her songs. That made me think about her reading this one. In Mark, you say, what about the renewed writing? In Mark 12:30, see, English, this is what English is, but this is why we got to be good Bereans. In Mark 12:30, and you shall love Yehovah, your Elohim, with all your heart, and with all your being, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's G2479. It almost sounds like he's saying, when you look at the man, it almost sounds like he's Russian. So, you listen to it, you put the number, you see what I'm talking about. And that's a quote from Devarim 6:5. And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart, and with all your being, and with all your might. That word might is miod. It's H3966. So a lot of stuff is just information. In Ephesians 6:10, he said, for the rest, my brother, be strong in the master, and in the mightiness of his strength. And of course, it's Yehus. 24:79. Now these next three verses, it really points to where we're at and him strengthening himself upon his bed. Look at Psalms 41. Look at these first three verses. How I found this is just, it's almost like an accident. There's something I never seen before. But it says, blessed is he who considers the poor. Yehovah does deliver him in a day of evil. How many know Yaakov had days of evil? How do you know Yaakov had trouble that his mighty one, our mighty one, his Elohim delivered him, especially from Esau. His own enemy was his own brother. He was terrified of him. Verse 2, Yehovah does guard him and keep him alive. He is blessed on the earth, and you do not hand him over to the desire of his enemy. Because if Esau would have had his way, man, he would have killed him on the spot. Took all the booty. And look, he got rid of his own brother. How we know that? Because we've seen this happen before, in the beginning. But look at verse 3. Yehovah sustained him on his sick bed. In his weakness on his bed, you bring a charge. Did he bring a charge? For chapter 49, when you get to 49, he does bring a charge. But he's already started in 48 when he's going to speak to Yosef. Mm-hmm. You bring change. Thank you, my brother. Like I said, Yehovah sustains him on his sick bed. Look, he had to stay because he had to pass that covenant care. He had to pass that on to his children. Hallelujah. So there's hazak. It also means to grab hold. And you say grab hold to what? So Proverbs 4:1, let's look at something here in Proverbs. It says, a father's wise instruction. Does our father give us wise instruction? Do we speak to him on a daily basis? We should. At least tell him good morning. In Proverbs 4:1, it says, children, listen to the discipline of a father and give attention to no understanding. For I gave you good instruction. Do not forsake my Torah. That's he could have stopped right there in that chapter. He said, but he gives us good instruction not to forsake his Torah. He said, I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the eyes of my mother. And he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, guard my commands, and live. That's a quiet look. We think it's hard, but it's really not. It's really simple. We don't want to be disciplined. We really have to really want to spend time with him. You have to love this. It really has to get into you. And the more you practice, the more we do it, the better you get at it. That's why I'm working on me. It says in verse 5, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. I know I'm the one speaking, but the speaker here is really the one telling the story for us. Do not leave her and let her guard you. Love her and watch over her. He's speaking of wisdom here. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. Pretty simple. And with all you're getting, get understanding. So trust me, when you get wisdom, you're going to get understanding because you're going to know. If you're not getting understanding up to this point to where we're at in the verse, we got to start all over again. Oh, some people might look at you kind of funny. It says, exalt her and let her uplift you. She brings you esteem when you embrace her. She gives your head a fair wreath. She shields you with an adorning crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, and let the years of your life be many. He said, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in straight paths. When you walk, your steps shall not be hindered, and if you run, you shall not stumble. Be strong, hazak, in discipline. Do not let her go. Do not let go. Watch over her, for she is your life. You think wisdom is important? We all need this. This is why we come here to learn. Because like I said, we need this. Now I'm going to bypass that. I'm going to give you a few other verses with hazak in it. Isaiah 41:12-13. When you seek them, but do not find them, those who struggle with you, those who fight you, are as non-existent as naught. For I, Yehovah, your Elohim, am strengthening your right hand, saying to you, do not fear, I shall help you. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have some trouble sometime. And I know we kind of, it might sound like it's repetitive a lot, but his word does that. Because we forget. We get so much on our plate, we lose sight of things. So he has a constant reminder to us, and he's what did he tell Yaakov? I'm with you. Don't be afraid to go down the Mishrain because I'm with you. In Zechariah 8:12-13, he said, because of the sowing of peace, the vine does give its fruit. The ground does give her increase, and the heavens do give her their due. And I shall call the remnant of this people to inherit all these. We can eat all that. This is all sound like garden material. If we're gardeners in here, this is exactly this pertains to you. And it shall be, as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Yehuda and the house of Israel, so I shall save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. Hazak. This is all over in the scripture. Let me just give, I'm going to just give you this one here, and I'm going to move on. In 1 Timothy 6:12, Shaul, you think Shaul tapped into this? About grabbing hold? He said, fight the good fight of belief. Lay hold. G1949. Epilabanami. on everlasting life. Lay hold to everlasting life. What is everlasting life? Right here. We carry it with us around every day. We keep it in our pockets, in our purse, whatever you carry. This is your, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession before many witnesses. Because you're going to be out there, you're going to be the salt and the light of the earth. That's what he said you are. So you got to fight the good fight. In Psalms 73:23 says, yet I'm always with you. You took hold of my right hand. This is H 270, Akaz. His primitive root is to seize, often with the accessory idea of holding in possession. So you have to grab, to take hold of all these little key points. Like I said, this may be the most popular thing tonight. But I'm going to show you what this Akaz is. Listen to this in the ancient Hebrew. It means to see and perceive. It's the ability to see beyond what is seen in the physical present as light piercing through the darkness. What did Yaakov have? He had this insight where he can see past just the natural. How we know that? Because when his sons come, they say, who are these? The scripture says his eyes. He couldn't see. He was blinded because up in age, he couldn't see no more. But he had the spiritual insight. This is what the Akaz is. Because he lay hold of something that we need to grab hold to. This is very important. At least to me it is. It's the ability to see beyond what is seen in the physical present as light piercing through the darkness. You think our master never had that? Our master, when Peter tried to rebuke him, he said, get behind me, Satan. He said, you're not setting your mind on the stuff of Yehovah. You try to do your own thing. I paraphrase that, but it's to lay hold. It's compatible with the C and the V, but it's to grab something, to keep hold of it. What's one thing we have to keep? It's our salvation. We got to constantly work for this. It's not a one and done thing. We got to grab hold of it. Like Paul Shaul said in Timothy, grab hold of eternal life. Why are you telling you to grab hold? Get a firm grip to it. Huzzah! Grab hold strong to it. Because why? You can lose it. Don't say you can. Because we know people. I know people. It's to perceive, to see something that is not physically present. Yaakov just had this insight. Things that he'd done as he was a younger man. You seen these things that, so he had a really, really, a relationship with Yehovah that he'd seen some stuff. Remember when he went before Pharaoh, he said, man, I've been fearing David, but man, I've been through some stuff. And when we read his life, it's incredible. I just wanted to bring this Akaz out to you. And now we're going to get to verse 3. And Yaakov said to Yosef, El Shaddai appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And that's in Genesis 28, Bereshit 28:10 through 22. Now this is one I want to look at. This El Shaddai. El Shaddai is Almighty. He's the most powerful in the Brown Driver's Brig. Shout the Almighty El, or the Almighty God, he got it in there. You can't say much. I'm gonna say you can't say much. That's a lot to say about El Shaddai, who delivered him. It's the ancient Hebrew, the breast. It means the breast. It's the shin and the dollar, the two that dangle. That's what it means. The two front teeth and the dollar, the picture of the tent door that dangles down. Because why? Because he's both masculine and feminine. That's time he's nurturing, and that's time he's dropped the hammer. And that's time he's gentle. He gives it, he'll put out the warning first, and sometimes he might have to raise his voice a little bit. Kind of like we do sometimes. The first time we see it, El Shaddai mentioned, is in Genesis 17, verse 1. It says, it came to be when Abram was 99 years old that Yehovah appeared to Abram and said, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect. It's
It's first mentioned. And then from there, 47 more times, I put every one of them in here. I went and I copied them all down. But I'm going to read just the El Shaddai one because he goes to the Almighty. But notice one thing when he says about what he says about himself. In Genesis 28:3, and El Shaddai blesses you and make you fruitful and increase. We're seeing that happening right now. And you shall become an assembly of peoples. That's happening right now. He didn't say grown-ups. He said assembly of peoples. We got some little peoples. It's popping up in here, if in case y'all hadn't noticed. In Genesis 35:11, and Elohim said to him, I am El Shaddai, be fruitful and increase. A nation and a company of nations shall be from you, and sovereigns come from your body. In Genesis 43:14, and El Shaddai give to you compassion. There's that word again. Before the man, so that he release your other brother and Benjamin. And if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. Remember these words of Yaakov? Let me give you one. Oh, there's a couple more. And Yaakov said to Yosef in Genesis 48:3, El Shaddai appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. I know I just gave you that one. In Exodus 6:3, he said, and I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Yaakov as El Shaddai. And by my name, Yehovah, was I not known to them. He appeared to them as that. You know, Moshe, he tells them who he where the name comes out. But this is something, this is something, when Pastor was talking about this about a minute ago about speech, in Ruth, Ruth 1 and verse 20 and 21. I'm going to look at, we're still talking about the El Shaddai here. But she mentioned the Almighty. Let me tell you, there's times as human beings, and there's times as even as believers, we're going to say things that come out of our mouth, but we got to really, really be careful. Because let's see what Ruth says. And I'm not to pick on her, but just listen to her statement. And she said in verse 20, do not call me Naomi, my delight. That's what Naomi means. Call me Mara. Mara means bitterness. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. That's kind of odd to say something like that. I understand if you're going through some trouble sometimes, but to make that kind of statement, I'd have to question that. You know, I know she lost her husband. She lost her two sons. She still has two daughters, daughter-in-laws. And one of course, we know they separate. But to say that about the Almighty, I would really, you know, want to watch how I speak because it can affect those alongside you. She says this in verse 21, I went out filled, and Yehovah has brought me back empty. That doesn't sound like our master. Why do you call me Naomi since Yehovah has witnessed against me and the Almighty has done evil to me? Really? The Almighty does that? Well, let's see something here. Let's see to the book of Job. Let's see what Job says about this subject. He don't talk about Naomi, but let's see Job's words. So that's why I say as believers, we got to be careful sometimes how we approach when we're around people. And look, she's going through trouble sometimes. When you're going through trouble, we say things. And it kind of, you might get out of character a little bit. Remember that, we got to clean this up. So let's see what Job says. In Job 34:10, therefore listen to me, because who had more trouble than him? Lost his family, all his kids, all his stuff, his house, his servants. He really lost. Let's see what Job says. Therefore listen to me, you men of heart. Far be it from El to do wrong, and from the Almighty to commit unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. You see the difference now? He had trouble. But you see, Naomi, and I'm not picking on ladies, because men, we get the same way too. We go through stuff, but our speech, we got to be, this is stuff we got to work on, our character. That's why I wanted to point this out. Far be it from Yehovah, from the Almighty, to commit unrighteousness. Look at verse 12. The truth is, El does not do wrong, and the Almighty does not twist right ruling. In Job 37:23, the Almighty
We have not found him out. We have not found him out. He is exalted in power and right ruling and great in righteousness. He does not oppress. I'm just showing you with the scripture. You know, so I just, when I got up on down, I was like, man, I got to be more careful with my words. And so when you mentioned that tonight, it made me think about that little spot. This is what Ruth said. I know, look, we're going to go through troublesome time. We've some of us been through it, and we're going to still go through it. But our speech has to be like Job. And we had to come, even though we're oppressed, and even though we're afflicted, hell's not, he's not the one oppressing you. It says that. If not, we can't have this in the scripture. In Psalms 32, this is the new one here. Let me give you this one. 132, in Psalms 132, verse 2. How he swore to Jehovah, vowed to the mighty one of Yaakov. To the mighty one of Yaakov. In 132, verse 5. Until I find a place for Jehovah, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Yaakov. He repeats that statement. Mighty one of Yaakov. Is he our mighty one? Is anything too hard for him? Is anything out of his reach that we can't ask him for? And we ask him for a lot right now. And we need him. He's the mighty one of Yaakov. This mighty is age 46. It's Abir. I kind of laughed at that because, you know, I was like, oh, Abir. When you look at it. It's mighty. Spoken of El, mighty one. And these four verses I want to give you, it is going to talk about that. In Bereshit 49:24, but his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hand of the mighty one of Yaakov. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now we saw last week that one man got two names. We got the same thing here again. I thought this was important. In Isaiah, these next three are going to be in Isaiah. In Isaiah 1:24, therefore the master declares, Jehovah of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I shall be at ease of my adversaries, and I shall be avenged of my enemies. In 49:26, he says, and I shall feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, and let them drink their own blood as sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I am Jehovah, am your Savior, and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Yaakov. And in chapter 60, verse 16, and you shall suck the milk of the nations. What are you talking about, the breasted one? And you shall suck the breast of sovereigns. And you shall know that I, Jehovah, your Savior, and your Redeemer, am the Mighty One of Yaakov. So he lets us know about this El Shaddai, who he is. And that's 47. I could have read them all, but you got to go back and go to them. This Abir in the brown drive is strong, mighty, used only to describe the Almighty. It means to feed in the ancient Hebrew. It's to feed and the word grain. The picture of the bait is the picture of the tent, but also represents the family which resides inside the tent. That's us. The race is the picture of the head. Combined, these mean family of heads. So we family of heads. What do you want to do? He wants to open us up. So why? We can be fruitful. We can spread. We can spread over the wall like Yaakov, like it was said about him, and be fruit to others. Because look, we got families. You got brothers and sisters and cousins. They trust me, they need all this. We need good fruit. We should be good fruit. It also, it matches good with the C and the V in the ancient Hebrew. It means fly or wing. The fowl feed on grain, become strong for a long journey. Some birds have to eat, like the hummingbird I've been noticing on my little, it's a little small little bird. He's coming from way up north. He's coming out here. So around I think next week, you should probably start seeing him. Why? He had to be for a long journey. He travels a long ways from way up north. But he's not a mighty bird. Now, when you go to strong, the mighty power of a bird in flight, anything or anyone of great strength, physically or mentally, And the Exodus 19:3 and 4, and Moshe went up to Elohim, and Elohim called from him from the mountain, saying, "This is what you are to say to the house of Yaakov, to declare to the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Midianite, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Let me tell you, just yesterday, I really wish I could have caught it on time with my camera and my phone. I was moving to a dry dock to pick up a boat. And as I was moving, was passing by, they had these cormorants were swimming the canal, pelican, and one of them had a buck shad. And I don't know what a buck shad, I don't know if y'all know, but it's a shad. Anyway, looked like a pogie. Anyway, he couldn't swallow it because they kind of writhed, but he was trying to swim. He was trying to find a way to swallow, but he couldn't. But he was ducking the water, and he'd come up, and I guess he was trying to get it down. He couldn't. All of a sudden, I just turned back around. An eagle, yesterday, came out of nowhere. I don't know where he came from, but he must have been watching him, and he seen that he couldn't swallow. He swooped down, and he tried to duck, and he hovered, he waited for him. And when he came up, snatched that fish. Thank you. Just took it from him. Thank you. Great bird. Made me think of it. I said, man, I wish I could have caught that on video. To me, that was amazing. So when you see stuff like that, man, it really does something for you. And when you read about this, about it in the scripture, about a power, bird of flight, let me tell you, he wasn't afraid. He snagged that thing up so quick. This El Shaddai is from H7703 Shaddad. Shaddad is properly to be bully, that is figuratively powerful, passive, impregnable. Let me tell you, when he says he's almighty, he is the almighty. There is none like him. To deal violently with. You don't think he dealt violently with? When the people come to the mountain, the mountain was quaking on fire, and it said that he was probably looked like he was even levitating off the ground. Can the almighty do that? You can shake your head like that. We can all be a bobblehead and agree. It's to violently destroy, devastate. Look, that when he passes through, when he sends all that, the hail and the sulfur and the ash and Sodom and Gomorrah, wiped it out. This is what you're dealing with when you're dealing with the Almighty. That's why he tells Moshe, no one can see me. I mean, it's just... And then when you go to the ancient Hebrew, it's the B and the V. It's the breasts that are dried up and shriveled. When everybody passes by, let me tell you something, but he don't leave residue. You know, there's things today that leave residue when they pass it by fire and stuff. When he passed by, he sucked up the residue. We see that one when Mount Carmel, with Elijah, he said that when the fire came down, it burned the rocks, it burned the altar, it burned the sacrifice, it licked up the water and burned the dust. He cleaned it all. Go read it for yourself. There's no residue. It needs to be dried up, stalled, to dry up and shriver. So what happened when the Almighty passed? Look, that's we can't even imagine. I read it, but you just can't. The first time we see this word was in Judges 5:27. This is one that you've probably seen before. Before her feet, he bowed. He fell. He lay still. Between her feet, he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell. Remember the Sisera? The army? And he put that... Here's some milk, warm milk, put him to sleep and put the tent peg. That's what this story goes to. Destroyed. H7703 is first mentioned. In Genesis 48:4, and he said to me, "See, I am making you fruitful and shall increase you and make you an assembly of people and give this land to your seed after you for an everlasting possession." He told him that back in Bereshit when he had the dream. "And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who are born to you in the land of Mitzrayim before I came to you in Mitzrayim are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they are mine." Now we had this because this is where we see the adoption. This is where we finally come in. And we had a lot of this last week. But I'm glad I got to this spot. Because this is where we see, the adoption, where we see the building of the 13 colonies, what we know in the world today. Let me give you the shortcut on this. In Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are the sons of Elohim. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
We ought to see you. We had that last week. And it was in my notes too, so I got to read it. Also in, let me tell you, and I put all the chapters on here, so if I had to read the whole thing, we're really going to be here a while. But
in Galatians 4:5,
well, let's go to 4:4.
But when the completion of time came, Elohim sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under Torah, to redeem those who were under Torah in order to receive the adoption as son, who we are to see you. So now we're no longer foster children or anything like that. And when the pastor started talking about it, it made me think about, you know, what the stuff we're doing. You know, we're just there being parents. We never adopted them, but we're there in the place of like parents, my wife and I. I'm going to tell you, and it is, sometimes it can be a little overwhelming, but I tell you, I wouldn't have it no other way. And because you are sons, Elohim has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, and also an heir of Elohim through Messiah. We come in, I just told it to a guy, I said, you know, you adopted, you heard it, you hear this, you adopted. What are you adopted into? You know, when you're a believer and you can't answer this question, that goes to show, look, you, it's time for you to start learning. That's why we need to start having Bible studies, I told him. Apparently, upon there was a son, sometimes of animal, very widely of immediate, remote, or affiliative kinship. A child. Let me tell you, I look at him like I see my son. Man, he this morning woke up at 2:30. I was like, oh boy, you little dude. Yeah. Oh, man. And Pastor brought out, I think, Galatians 3. I got Galatians 4 in here. And really, I mean, bypass it. I had to come back because it really gets into a lot of stuff here. In verse 6, in Genesis 48:6, your offspring, whom you shall bring forth after them, are yours, and let them be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. This is still the adoption process. He's speaking to yourself. It says, and when I came from Padam, Rahel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrah. And there I buried her there on the way to Ephrah, that is Bethlehem. And Yisrael saw Yosef's sons and said, who are these, Father? They are my sons whom Elohim has given me in this place. And he said to them, bring them to me and let me bless them. And Yosef said to his father, did I put that in? Yeah. They are my sons whom Elohim has given me in this place. And he says, please bring them to me and let me bless them. Now we look at the word Barak. It's H-1288. And it's talking about to kneel and bless. And in verse 10 it says, the eyes of Yisrael were dim with age, and he was unable to see. And he drew them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Let me tell you, he's showing compassion and showing love to his grandsons. As though in Exodus, I'm just going to comment on this, and he drew near them. He drew them near to him. In Exodus 33, let's look at verse 17. Let's start at verse 17. And Yehovah said to Moshe, even this word which I have spoken, I shall do for you have found favor in my eyes. And I know you by name. And he said, please show me your esteem. Mm-hmm. Moshe is acting for a lot. And he said, I shall cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I shall proclaim the name of Jehovah before you. And I shall favor him whom I favor, and shall have compassion on him whom I have compassion. But he said, you are unable to see my face, for no man does see me and live. And Jehovah said,
I like this part, what Jehovah says, see, there is a place with me. How do you know there's a place with him? If we want to draw near to him, there's a place with him. He makes himself available every day for us. He's not too busy. He don't say, let me check my appointment, my schedule. We do that. He's there every time we go to him. There's a place by him. This is what he's telling Moshe. And you should stand on the rock. We got to find our spot. Like I said, since I got overrun by babies, I got to find my spot. I got to find my rock to stand on. Because I need to get by him. I need to be next to him in this time in which we live. And it shall be, when my esteem passes by, that I shall put you in the cliff of the rock and cover you with my hand while I pass by. How big is that? When you can cover a man's hand? I was on a boat and I was kind of doing like that. So yeah, I can cover a few people. But then when you stand from far away, cover a lot from far away. And when you're next to him, you ain't covering nobody. Look how small they are. Oh boy, some things you do when you're by yourself when you're alone. I wonder sometimes y'all laugh at it sometimes just to watch us act this out. He said, hey, I'm going to pass by, I'm going to put my hand, I'll cover you with my hand while I pass by. How big is this L Shaddai? Good thing I didn't read all the other verses. I'm telling you, there's 47 verses to read about El Shaddai and the Almighty, plus the one I read. He said, and it shall, in verse 23, and then I shall take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So I put me a note right here. There is a place by Jehovah if we are willing to Goshen to him. There's a place by him. I'm gonna tell you, and we all got to find our spot. You know, I don't know where your spot is. I know where my spot is. And you got to know your spot. And when you go there, go in that spot and spend a little time there. You know, don't just be quick, get down and get up. Spend time there. Call upon him. You know, that's the only way we're going to get this done. Because look, what we're asking for is deeper than my pockets. It might be deeper than some of y'all. I mean, I don't know. But look, how big is our L? When he can put his hand over you and cover you with his hand, that's a spot by him. That's the spot Moshe wanted to be in. Mm-hmm. He said, and Yisrael said to Yosef, I had not thought to see your face, but Elohim has also shown me your seed. Remember, he's blind up to this point. He really can't see. What he had, this able to see beyond, this insight. So Yosef brought them from between his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. Now there's always this little, you know, it's almost sound right here, almost a little confusing. We got to go back and read. Kind of brought him between his knees. At first, when you first glance at it, you got to really go back and reread this. You know, you understand, when he brings in his boys. His boys, when he can't see them, that's why he's going to ask, who are these? And he brings him, Yaakov's sitting down, and he brings him between his knees. And he, Yosef, I'm assuming, is bowing down behind him. Because I'm gonna try to mention a little something if I can get to it on time. I'm trying. And Yosef took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Yisrael's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Yisrael's right hand, and brought them near him. Sometimes we need help to be brought near. So it's okay. I had to have help. This brought near is age 50, 66, is the word Nagash. I know we had this before. It's to approach, draw near. It's something we have to do. As believers, we should want to draw near to him. And it ought to mean it's come near in the ancient Hebrew. And Yisrael stretched out his right hand, verse 14, and laid on Ephraim's head, who was the younger,
and his left hand on Manasseh's head, consciously directing his hand, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Now remember, we've seen this right here. This is a little something. What we see happening here is Tav, or X marks the spot. If you look at the ancient Hebrew, it looks like a little X, but it's the Tav. I wonder why. Because Tav is the spot that we look. Goes out. Why? Who was on the Tav, on the pole? We see this. All these little nuggets start popping out. Because the Tav, or the X, marks the spot by consciously directing his hand to bless the youth. When you look at this Tav, this gematria is 400. It represents the cross or the covenant. It means truth, perfection, sign, ownership, seal. Is this seal upon us, you and I? Is that Tav upon us? In Genesis 15:13, Jehovah tells Abram, and he said to Abram, know for certain that your seed are to be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. Don't worry about the Tav. That's coming today. The Tav is coming. And what a day is going to be when he returns. We was talking about this last week during Shabbat. When he's going to return. Hey, look, right now we're just going to the prelims. When you start to fight, you get all the prelims. But we're talking about this is the birth pains. So in Romans 10:14, I put this in here because I thought it was just fitting. And people take it, they read this wrong. But let me tell you, the word is clear. It says, for Messiah is the goal of the Torah unto righteousness to everyone who believes. You read the footnote, it's the end purpose, not termination. He's the goal that we all what we're doing. We in the end, we want that his hand upon to mark that spot upon us. You know, because that Bible talks about marks, and that's all these things you get caught up in Revelation. He's going to talk about a mark and a sign. You know what I want his seal, his mark? The scripture says in Ezekiel, the Sabbath is a sign. It's a mark upon his people. Mm-hmm. Not my words, it's his words. Amen. When he returns, I want the tithe. I want to be doing what he wants me to do. I want to be willing to obey when he comes. And he blessed Joseph and said, Elohim, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac walked, the Elohim who has fed me all my long life to this day, the messenger who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the youths. And let my name be called upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them increase to a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it was evil in his eyes, and he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from the head of Ephraim to the head of Manasseh. But Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. That spiritual insight. What he can see, what Joseph didn't, Joseph had dream interpretation. He was very good at it. But Joseph, he had that, but Yaakov had that insight. Look at it, and that's different fruit, different gifts for everyone. He said, my son, I know. He also becomes a people, and he also is great, and yet his younger brother is greater than he. And his seed is to become the completeness of the nation. Now that's a big statement. But as I was reading that, I was just picturing, now this is just my thoughts, and I'm just sharing with you. I put down two questions here. The first question, was Joseph not paying attention to what was going on? Because it says, don't do it, my father. You're doing it wrong. So did he not see? Or was he back in a humble position when he brought the two boys, and was he paying homage? And then when he comes up, he notices. Does he make that statement then? It doesn't really say that like that, but you know, when you read it, just think about it, what's really happening. This is something serious with that, because he's passing on the blessing. So my thing, did he raise up and see, or was hands was crossed, and he said, not like that. It doesn't give us all that information. So that's just something I just wanted to, I put down for you to go back and just think about the story, you know, and what we'll be saying. And he blessed them on that day, saying, in Yisrael, in you, Yisrael shall bless, saying, Elohim make you as Ephraim, notice Ephraim first, and Manasseh. Thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh. And Yisrael said to Yosef, see, I am dying, word moot, but Elohim shall bring you, and shall be with you, and bring you back to the land of your fathers. And I have given you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Now, I had to go look that up. So when did he take that? I've never read that. Maybe you have. But I've never read where he took anything from the Amorite. But I'm going to share with you what I found. In Genesis 33:17, and Yaakov set out to Sukkot and built himself a house and made booths for his livestock. This is why the name of the place is called Sukkot. And Yaakov came safely into the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram, and he pitched his tent before the city. And he bought the portion of the field which he had pitched his tent from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 Kethra. It says probably in the form of a lamb, which they probably bought it for. So which is it now? Is it took or is it bought? Because the word bought is Strong's H7969 is kana. When you take something, it's laka. It's H3947. So two different words here. Or was it? Was it Genesis 34:1? Did he take it through the hands of his boys when they defiled Dinah, their sister? So there was just some thoughts when you're putting this together, because you know he shared it because he gives them one portion above his brother. He's double fruited, remember? So he had to have extra. So this is just a little something I'm going to leave you with, because my card came up. Time is almost out, but I just wanted to share that part with you. That, you know, give you stuff to go look for yourself. That's it. That's always stuff to look for and dive into and look at, you know. And that's just my thoughts on it. And what we've always said, because the main thing, don't make it right, but just go look. Just, like I said, it's just our own personal thoughts about it. I just wanted to share. But Shabbat Shalom, just wanted to share that with y'all. I appreciate y'all coming out, being attentive. Let's remember.